What is your name, sir?
My name is Jesus Manuel Verduzco.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me see who's going to serve as a lead for your hearing.
Say, is this Verduzco? Verduzco?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I have that.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will serve as the lead for your hearing this morning. So if you just hang on one moment, he will be right with you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Could you just state your name, your ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Jesus Manuel Verduzco. My ADC number is 265773.
Can you turn that up a little bit?
Where is up? That's the way we can go.
What about the what? What does it do anything to the beginning?
Thank you. Okay, let's see if we can officially do it.
Speak again. Well, speak up just a little bit. We can't hear you, sir. Can you talk just a little louder for us, sir?
I can't hear you myself either, sir.
Well, you can't hear us either?
I can hear you now.
Okay, sir.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today, okay?
Yes, sir.
Sir, you have doing your hearing today is the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead this morning. Also with us today, sir, representative of the Department of Correction, as well as the parole officer, is Mr. Turner, sir. Mr. Verduzco, prior to your hearing today, you received and you signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, sir, you were notified of your right to appear, speak on your own behalf, or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I am representing myself, sir.
Okay, thank you. At this time, sir, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, so your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated, okay?
Yes, sir.
We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I am going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12B, as demonstrated by your non-reporting and enrolling at Behavioral Systems Southwest at 6420 South Park Avenue, Tucson, Arizona, on or about July 11, 2018, as directed on July 10, 2018, for residential substance abuse treatment. Says that the offender is actively avoiding supervision, thus is absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
The first one is true, sir. I did not report
okay
to the Behavioral South System Southwest.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, then, based on the admission of Mr. Verduzco, I don't move to find that he was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways for our company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself. Second by Mr. De Niro. Agree, Dr. Wright. Phase two of the hearing, sir. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then I'm going to go with some information with you and the board to see if they have any questions. Then Mr. Verduzco will give you the opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Turner.
Verduzco was released from ADC custody on 4/27/2018 and arrested on 7/27/2018 by Douglas PD. No new charges are noted. Returned back to ADC custody on 7/27/2018 with an adjusted CACD of 5/14/2019 with 16 abscond days. Current convictions, 2010 marijuana violation, 5 years. 2011 burglary second degree, 7 years, 6 months. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4.4. Mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 3. No STG information is noted. There's no prior terms on supervision. Disciplinary is significant with promoting contraband, fraud, drugs, disorderly conduct, aggravated assault, and criminal damage noted. Under arrest, 2000, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona felony conviction probation. 2000, aggravated DUI, Arizona felony conviction probation. 2002, aggravated DUI, Arizona felony conviction probation. 2006, assault, Arizona fined. 2006, disorderly conduct, Arizona fined. 2010, burglary second degree, Arizona not processed. 2010, assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. 2010, disorderly conduct, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. 2010, narcotic drug violation, Arizona, no charges were filed. 2015, burglary, Arizona pending charges. He has a GB score of G4, B5.
Okay, Mr. Verduzco, I see that when you were released, you were approved to reside with your mother, Ms. Verduzco, at 75 East North Avenue in Douglas, Arizona. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and it also looks like you were working at Douglas Realty, but it looks like they contacted them, but they hadn't heard it from you. Were you still working for them, or were you working at all, sir?
I was employed by a subcontractor to Douglas Realty.
Okay, and how long did you work for them, sir?
I worked about 3 days a week for about maybe 2 months. But I was not on Village Realty's payroll. I was contracted by the subcontractor.
Okay, and what did you do?
I helped when he had major remodeling to do, such as in painting, such as roofing, flooring. I could get a job. I have a lot of options to get jobs, sir, because I have 2 college degrees. Right. Except my background did not clear, so I was refused many jobs.
Okay, what's your degrees then, sir?
I have 2 degrees. One is my Associate of Applied Science degree. I also have a small business management degree. I have also enrolled myself at Emory University, and I was about to start on my work for my master's in psychology.
Okay.
Also, upon my release, I was released April 27th. I buried my wife of 20 years on April 29th.
Okay.
So, I have 6 kids. Out there who unfortunately I was not expecting what happened to happen, and I was overcome by losing my wife. I did not know how to react, and I made a mistake in a point of weakness. Since I've been here, I have strengthened my mind, I have strengthened my spirit, and I know that I can overcome this. I've completed supervision times before, and I'm determined not to fail. I know that I can't succeed. I have a lot of help from the community, from my parents, my children, from a lot of people who want to help me. It was just, I wasn't capable of accepting it. I do not know why. But now I know that I need the help, and with their support and through their help, I will make it. There's no doubt in my mind.
Okay, Mr. Verduzco, you kind of lost me for a minute. You were telling me about you were married and had 6 kids, then you said you lost your wife.
Yes, sir.
What happened?
She was involved in a car accident, and she passed away April 23rd. So I got released April 27th, and I buried her Sunday, April 29th. And that really hurt me. I was devastated. I was broken. I did not know how to deal with it, and it was just too much for me to deal with at one moment.
Okay.
So I messed up. Now, since I've been back in prison, I've had time to get my mind right, to strengthen my spirit, and prepare myself for what I know I must do. And I know I can do this. I've completed supervision before. I know I can do this. There's no doubt in my mind. My kids need me. I need them. I will not fail. There's nothing else I will not do. I have a lot of support.
How old are your kids, sir?
I have my twin boys who just turned 19, August 26th. I have my son, John, who turned 16, September 2nd. I have my daughter, who is 13. I have my son, Isaiah, who is 12. And my youngest son, who is 11.
So who's keeping your kids now, sir?
My mom and my dad, sir. Before my wife passed away, after she passed away, I had to go and enroll in school in Douglas. And since I am not on all the birth certificates, I had to meet with the school superintendent. I had to go put them under my case for the food stamps. I had to go get them access. I had a lot of things on my plate to do, and I was lost because my wife always did that. I did not know what to do, but other than that, I'm ready now. I've got my mind ready, and I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to. I accept all challenges. I know I need help. I have my mom and dad who will help me. I have my father-in-law who will help me. I have my church who will help me. I have a lot of people to help me.
So is there a reason, Mr. Brusco, why, let me just check this real quick, why none of them or some of your supporters didn't write a letter or do something to substantiate supporting you, sir?
Pardon me, sir, I did not understand you.
Is there a reason why you have your mom, your father, your in-laws, your parents, your in-laws, your church, and friends supporting you, but there's nothing in the Bible that we have where they may have wrote a letter to come down to support you?
I heard what you said, but I did not understand the last part. You were breaking up, sir.
Okay, is there a reason why the people who are supporting you, no one's here to support you at this hearing?
They are not here because I did not notify them, sir. I have not been able to have contact with them.
Why haven't you had contact with them?
Because I have no money on my books to make a phone call or to buy myself envelopes to write them. Although they have written me, they are more than willing. My mom, I got a letter from the church saying they will help me. I got letters from my kids and my mom and dad saying that they want to help me. Everybody wants to help me, sir. I was broken, you know. I lost my wife. When I got out, I expected to go home and work on getting my family back together. And I went home. I got out Friday, and Friday night I found out my wife died. That's it. There's nothing else to it. That it really, really messed me up. I had never thought of that, and therefore I did not know what to do. I was lost, completely lost, and I was not open to suggestions. I didn't want no help. Man, I was devastated. Man, it broke my heart. But now I know that my kids need me, and it is important that I will not fail. My mom, my dad, they write me. I just got a letter from them a couple of days ago, and my kids wrote me too. And I've had friends write me, and my church write me, and everybody wants to see me succeed, and they want to help me. I have a lot of things to go out there to look forward to. I've been gone too long to fail again. I refuse to do this. I do not want to do this, and I will do whatever it takes, whatever it needs to be done to succeed. I want to be a good person. I want to be an inspiration to my kids. I want to overcome. I want to succeed. I want to get my master's degree. I want to do good. I'm just tired of. I'm tired of doing bad. I want to do good, and I know I can do it. I succeeded before, and I will succeed again.
So, why don't you? It looks like your PO had made several attempts to contact you, and you didn't respond for several days. Is there a reason why?
Prior to my going to Tucson, my 19-year-old now, he's a diabetic. He's overweight, so he got really sick. and I left to Tucson with him. In the van, I was transported, we were transported by an ambulance to Tucson. And I was up there for, I must say, 4 to 5 days with him in the Tucson Medical Center prior to his release. From there, I called Southwestern Behavioral Systems, and I was told it was too late for me to go. So I tried contacting Ms. Perfetto, but she only has a cell phone, and I left various messages stating why I had not reported yet. And but every time she needed to talk to me, she was able to get a hold of me. She would go to my house, and she would always find me there. I never hid from her. I never fled. I'm not a flight risk. I've never been a flight risk. I have no reason to run. I want nothing more to be with my family, and that's where I was at every time she needed me. She was always able to find me. Unless my kids had the phone. I did not have a phone, so she had to call me through my kids' phone. Sometimes my kids were not around for her to talk to me. But other than that, every time she needed to find me, she would go to my house and she would find me. And I never heard from her. I never ran, nothing at all, sir. I have no reason to run, no reason to hide, no reason for nothing.
So you actually, at some point, you would actually drink him doing methamphetamine, marijuana, and cocaine, all of those drugs together, sir?
Like I said, I admit to that because I did not know how to deal with my pain that I was feeling because I lost my wife, and I chose to numb it, or however you want to say, with drugs.
Okay.
And at the end of the night, I felt so terrible because I knew what I was doing and I knew that I was wrong. I was devastated with the grief. I didn't know any other way how to deal with it. And unfortunately now I see that I was just hurting myself because they put me back in prison. I understand that and I know that. That's why I believe in myself, and I know that if I keep going down that same path, I know it's gonna happen. I know it. And therefore I choose not to. Now I'm ready. I wasn't expecting to go out and find out my wife had died. I never expected that. So now that I've been sitting here in prison again for the last 40 days, I have nothing but time to think about how much I need my kids, how much they need me, about how much drugs will affect them, because it's not longer about me, it's about them. They lost their mom, and if they lose me, man, it will break my heart to hurt them again. And that's why I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to hurt my mom or dad. I don't want to disappoint the people no more. I just want to do what's good. I want to be a good person.
So, Mr. Verduzco, you want to be a good person, you want to be there for your kids. How does doing drugs, methamphetamine, amphetamine, marijuana, and cocaine, how does that impact you with trying to take care of your kids, sir?
Well, it impacted me in a way that I lost them again. I put myself back in prison because of them drugs. That's why I hate them now. I don't want nothing to do with them. I don't want nothing to do with drugs. Nothing, because I know it's going to put me back in prison for a long time, and it's going to make my kids harder, and they will never know me again. I don't want that. That's why I choose not to do drugs. I was clean and sober for 3 years in prison before I left prison. But when I found out my wife died, I didn't know what to do. I ran back to drugs. I'm not going to lie. I ran out and I got high. I hurt myself even more because I hurt my kids even more. And now I know that if I keep eating high and I keep using drugs, I might as well just stay in prison if I'm going to keep doing that. Because my kids will hate me. And I don't want my kids to hate me. I don't want my mom and dad to be disappointed in me. I just want to be a good person. You know, I want to be out there, provide for them. I want to be out there. I want people to look at me with good eyes instead of bad eyes. I want to help people. I want to do what's right. I want to show them that you can change. That's why I worked so hard to get my college degree. That's why I want to go back to school. The only reason why I keep trying to better myself. The only reason why I don't give up. And I won't give up.
Okay. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir.
Anything that Quano suggests to Sanjay, the story about his wife? Or?
There's nothing in here indicating, there's nothing documented that his wife had passed or anything. Oh, wait, hang on just a minute.
Ms. Perfetto knows that. She spoke to my family. She knows what happened.
Okay.
Her name is Maribel Garcia. It's stated there. I spoke to her. She spoke to my kids.
But the criminal note is documented, the offender notifying his parole officer. 4/30/18, it states, Fender's children's mother was killed in a vehicle accident 1 week prior to his release. He now has 6 children to raise by himself, and he has been incarcerated for 7 years. Discussed with the offender, Fender also states that he has been offered a place to stay and work in Illinois by an uncle. I explained the process for ICOTS. Offender was under the impression that he would work there Monday through Thursday and then return to Arizona on the weekends to be with his children. Also discussed the possibility of PTSD for the offender and things to watch for as he spent time with his children and family.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Dr. Allen.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, you indicated that, I think you indicated, I want to make sure that I heard you correct, that you are not listed on the birth certificate as being the father of your kids. Did I hear that correct, sir?
I wasn't present for, I believe, 2 births, so I was not at the hospital when she gave birth, so I wasn't on the birth certificate. But all the kids have my last name.
But you haven't, but all 6 of them have your last name, but you're not listed on the birth certificate as being the father, sir.
I really, when I was out there, I applied, I went and we did the required test, the paternity test and all that, and I applied and I sent the money to be put on the birth certificate through legal aid. I filed the correct motions, did the paperwork and all that. Should be taken care of as now, I believe it should be done already. Because I had a hard time, that's why I had to meet with the superintendent of the schools because my name wasn't on the birth certificate. So I had to meet with her to explain why and to get the right to be able to prove to her that I was a parent. So I went, contacted legal aid, and they gave me the forms to fill. I paid the charge for it. And if I'm not mistaken now, I believe it should all be taken care of now.
And I believe you indicated to Honorable Mr. Johnson that your parents are responsible for them while you're incarcerated, sir. Is that correct? Did I hear that correct, sir?
Right now they are, yes, sir. My kids my twins, one of them I believe is employed right now, and the other one is at home, and the other small ones all go to school. I went in, they allowed me to put them in school. So that one of them's in high school, one of them's in junior high, and the other two are in elementary.
Once you release, sir, whether it's now or later, but when do you plan to reside, sir?
I plan to reside my mom and my dad so I can hopefully get back on my feet, and maybe Ms. Perfetto or my parole officer will let me get my own place with my family. If not, I'm more than willing to stay with my parents and help them maybe fix the house and be with your family.
All of those in Douglas, sir, where do they live, sir?
All my kids live at 745 4th Street with my mom and dad right now.
Okay. In Douglas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What were you doing, sir, when the Douglas Police Department picked you up?
Well, I was coming back to Michigan, sir. I had gone to go buy cigarettes.
Then why did they pick you up? I mean, why did they stop to ask you, you know, your name and all of that? Why did they do that, sir?
It is custom of them to do that, sir.
What were you doing, sir, for them to do it?
I was crossing back.
You were doing what, sir?
I was crossing back to Douglas.
From where?
From Mexico.
Oh, so you have been down in Mexico?
Yes, sir. I went to go by cigarettes, sir.
What were you doing down in Mexico, sir?
I want to go buy cigarettes.
You want to buy cigarettes?
Yes, sir. Over there, I can buy them for $2.50 a pack instead of paying $8 here.
Well, I recognize the fact, sir, that this is your first time being on supervision, but you signed an agreement that you would not leave the state of Arizona, sir. So I'm still trying to figure out why would you violate that and go to Mexico, sir. I know you went to buy some cigarettes.
I don't know why you want to buy them. That's left up to you why you want to buy them. That's none of my business why you want to buy them. But why would you leave the state? I know there's not much distance between Mexico and Douglas, depending upon where you went in Mexico. But why would you cross that line, sir? And you know you should not have crossed that line. Did you not know that you should not have crossed that line, sir?
It was a stupid mistake, sir. I'm not gonna lie, it was a stupid mistake. I wasn't thinking right. There's a lot of things I did that I should have done, and there's no right reason for it. I'm not gonna deny it. Just, my head wasn't right. There ain't no other explanation for it. It was a stupid mistake. I didn't know better, and I accept responsibility for it.
Using your words, sir, please convince me and one board member, how's your head right now to live a productive life out in society when you're released, sir?
Because I know now that whatever I do does not just affect me, but it affects my family. Because these last 40 days I've been sitting in prison, I've been thinking nothing about nothing else but that, about what my consequences do to other people, about what my actions do to other people. That it's not about me no more, that I have 6 kids out there who don't have a mother no more, who need me, who depend on me as much as I depend on them. And it is because of them that I will not fail. It is only because of them that I want to do right. I'm not gonna lie, if I didn't have no kids, I wouldn't care what happened to me. There'd be no reason for me to even try this, but it is because of him that I want to do right, that I want to succeed, that I'm pushing myself, that I want to give up these drugs, that I want to do anything possible to show them that, hey, look, I am capable of doing this, that I am a better person.
You just asked one final question, sir. You said that when you were released, to be sure, and please accept my condolences, that your wife was that died, and we're sorry to hear that. But then you thought that the best way for you to medicate would be just to have, I believe, Mr. Johnson said, about 3 or 4 different types of drugs. Where were you getting all those drugs from, sir?
My damn street and neighborhood. Meeting people, I guess.
Were you buying them, or someone was just passing them out? How did you get them, sir?
I've known for many, many years, and I was gone for a long time, so when they came back, they were all using drugs, and I fell into that same category again. But that will not happen now, because I know what it will lead me to do. I know if I associate myself with the same people, I know what path I'm going to be going down, and I know what the outcome will be of that path. I've had nothing but time to think about this, and believe me, I've sat here and I've thought about what could happen if I do this. I thought about what would happen if I do that, and I know that everything I'll do, if it's not correct, it's going to bring me right back to prison. I know this. I've got in my mind, I've straightened myself, I am stronger mentally, spiritually, physically. I know now what I need to do. I know what choices I have. I know what needs to be done to complete the supervision. I know what if I don't do, I know where I'll be at, and I know how much it's going to cost and hurt me, and not just me and my kids. So I know what I need to do, and that's what I will do. I will not associate myself with the same people. I will do whatever I have to do to succeed.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so very much. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Mr. Tony, you have something?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Upon reviewing his disciplinary history, I realized that after his return to custody, on 8/24/2018, the offender was found guilty of a major disciplinary for a positive UA, where he tested positive for methamphetamine, THC, and benzocaine.
That is because of when I came back from the streets, on the streets I was using. But that doesn't mean I came to prison and was using in prison. I mean, I explained to him, look, I'm coming back from the streets. on the streets, I was using drugs. That's why I'm back in prison, because of drugs.
Okay. Mr. Velusco, are you taking any programs or are you, since you've been back? What programs are you taking?
Right now, there's no programs available to me because I'm in CDU, which is a detention unit. But I would like to be able to get out and maybe attend a CBUS. We have CBUS in Douglas, which is a Southeastern Arizona Behavioral Health. I've actually been thinking of maybe enrolling in some outpatient, maybe some type of therapy, some maybe even not AA and NA, but more of a support type group, maybe some anything that will help me keep my mind busy and my time busy. I'm willing to do that. There's no problem with me doing that. I accept that. I know I can't do this alone, and I know I need help, and I'm willing to accept it. I've been thinking maybe even about volunteering at that place, maybe showing up and being like, look, hey, you know, I need help. Man, is there anything I can do for you guys to help me? I'm willing to accept all that. There's nothing that I won't do. I know I need help. I'm not denying it. And I want help. I want to take advantage of everything that's offered to me. Okay. And we have a lot of places that will help me. Even my mom told me that. She said, why don't you go and sign up for this? Why don't you go and do that? And I'm willing to do that. I want to do that. I really want to. And I'm not lying. I want it. I do.
Okay.
Because I know that if I don't, that just makes it easier for me to fall back into to drugs and other things. I want to stay busy.
Okay. Let me, Mr. Turner, I'm just trying to get these things right. He returned to prison on July 27th.
He was returned on July 27th.
And it was almost a month later, August 24th, when he passed the positive.
It was, let me go back. Yes, he was returned on 7/27, and he was found guilty on 8/24 from a test on 8/20.
Okay. Are there any more questions by the board? Mr. Verdusco, we'll comment on the conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
I would like to say that if given the chance to return to my mom's house, I have tremendous support, and in my heart, I have the desire to change. I have the willingness to change, and I have the need to change. I will accept all the treatment I can get, all the help I can get. I'm being completely honest, and I'm speaking from my heart when I say that I do not want to go back to using drugs, that I want to do what's right. I want to do what's best. I want to inspire my kids. I want to help people. I want to be a productive member of society. I don't want to be looked at as another convict who just got out of prison who's going to go back to prison to do that stuff. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to fit into that category. I work so hard to try to better myself to just go out and mess it up. I believe in my heart that if my wife was still been alive, there's no way I would be using drugs. I would not have done it. So I know now that I'm not alone, but I don't have her no more. So I got to be even stronger to take care of these kids, because well, without me, I mean, all they have is their grandma and their grandpa. So they don't deserve for me to hurt them like this. They don't deserve for me to abandon them. And they deserve everything I can give them, the best, just like when I was growing up, I had the best. I had both my parents, and they loved me, and they treated me so good, and that's what I want to give my kids, because they deserve it. I spent many, many years in prison, and I don't want to do this. I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to be in prison. I don't want to come back to prison. And I know that if I keep using drugs, I'm going to end up right back in prison. And I'm honest when I say I want to go out, and I want to work, and I want to get my degree, and there's so many things I want to do. There's a lot more to life than being in prison or doing drugs. And that's not what I want. I've already done that my whole life, and it's led me to nothing but bad. I've gotten nothing good out of doing what I've done, and I can see that now. And therefore, I don't want that no more. I want to do other things. I want to explore life. I want to live life. I want to be a family. I want to do family things. I want to take trips, I want to go to ball games, I want to do things that I've never done before because of my stupid reason.
Okay. All right, Mr. Verduzco, the board's going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone so that you can hear the discussion taking place with the board. At the same time, I'm going to also ask you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. While we're in discussion, so we will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. Then we will get back with you with the decision of the board, okay? So please stay on the phone but remain silent, okay?
Yes, sir.
The board is now going into discussion. I would tell you that I really sympathize with Mr. Verduzco. That is a hard thing to take to serve 7 years in prison, get out, and find out that 2 days before your wife, before you get out, your wife's killed in an auto accident. Does have 6 kids, and like you said, he had 2 twin boys or 2 twins. That's 19, 16, and 13, and 12, and 11 year old that are staying with his parents at the current time, and that he took the time to enroll his kids in school in Douglas, and as well as he says he's filed with legal aid to get the birth certificate, get the name on the birth certificate, and have the kids all have his last name, but to legally be able to represent him. And that's, he said he had a little bit of a problem getting the young ones enrolled in school, so he had to meet with the superintendent. But I understand he has the 2 degrees. He has an AA and a degree in business management. He was working, he says, 3 days a week with a son, with a subcontractor doing the housing. But I'm concerned about the use of the drugs that he was not only using one drug, but he was using methamphetamine, amphetamines, marijuana, and cocaine that was actually found in his system. A little bit concerned also about the fact that he left the state and went to Mexico to purchase cigarettes. And I think that if he went to Mexico, I don't know exactly what he was doing over there. I think none of us really know what he was doing over there, but he said he went over there to purchase cigarettes and got stopped on a routine stop. And I would think that that wouldn't be something you'd want to do if you know you probably have a warrant after your arrest, and that you're going to go through a check that's there. And I know I sympathize with him. I hear what he says when he says he knows what he needs to do and he wants to do what's right and he'll do whatever it takes. But I'm also concerned that he was arrested and incarcerated again on July 27th of 2018, tested on August 20th, almost a month later. On August 20th, he was tested while he was incarcerated, and he still had drugs in his system. I just came by that it took almost a month, and the drugs would still be in his system to have that many drugs in there. The cocaine that he tested positive for, I think there was a couple other things that he tested positive for. I think that Mr. Verduzco really understands and wants to turn the corner, but he does have that drug problem. I think that he'll be released on May 14th of 2019. But he's really, really sincere in making the statement that he'll do whatever it takes. I think it would be best for him to take the time that he has left remaining, work on getting into some type of drug program, work on putting together a program so that when he's released, that he's able to get out and be a good parent for his kids, to be a good role model for his kids when he gets out. But I think he needs to take that time while he's incarcerated to completely get off drugs. He said he went 3 years drug-free while he was in custody before getting out. I think if he takes that same attitude, get himself drug-free, because he says when he got out, the drugs he was using was because of the neighborhood and the friends that he got back involved in. But I don't think that Mr. Verduzco would be a good candidate for community supervision. I think if he's really sincere, wants to turn the corner, he'll do whatever it takes, that he will really sincerely take this time out to get his stuff together, do the programming that he can do inside while he's incarcerated. And then hopefully when he gets out, be a productive citizen, use his degrees, and be a good parent and representative for his kids, but I think he still has some work he has to do on himself in order to get to that point. That's my opinion. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues.
I agree. We were unfortunate, but he left the state. He continued to use drugs, which is a very unfortunate situation, but I do agree with you.
Okay, therefore, I am going to make a motion and move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Verduzco, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms, conditions, and supervision, had lapses, was probably about to lapse into criminal ways, as he did relapse and start to use drugs, as well as leave the state of Arizona. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself. Second, Mr. Leon. Agree, Dr. Wright. All right, Mr. Verduzco? Mr. Verduzco?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you can hear the conversation taking place. And once again, you know, from all of us, we do give you our condolences for the loss of your life. But the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. So you have stated that you really want to turn your life around. You made a couple of statements about what you want to do. If you would take this time, you will be released on May 14th, 2019. You said that you were incarcerated for 7 years, and 3 of those 7 years that you were drug-free while you were there. If you would take this time, sir, get involved in some programming so that you can get off drugs, you can work on a program to get yourself together when you get out. Your kids are with your parents, but when you get out, sir, you can be a productive citizen. I think if you were very sincere about the statements that you're making to this board, that you'll do whatever it takes, and you want to get out and explore life and live life, that you would take this time that you have and then really get yourself together, take any program that you can take, set up a plan so that when you get out, you'll be able to be a productive person, use those 2 degrees that you have, the AA and the degree in management, to get yourself together. So you got those 6 kids that you can get out. You said that you're very concerned. You want to be a good role model for them. So I think if you put those programs together and work on it, that when you're released, you'll be a strong person, be a productive person, and also a successful person when you're released. So I do want to thank you, Mr. Verduzco, for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Verduzco. We do wish you the best of luck and follow through on your desires to get your life back together and be a good role model for your kids. Could you please put the CO3 back on the phone or set the phone down for the next person?
Thank you. I will get the next guy.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Hello. Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Jamondre Merritt.